Blog Talk Radio.
Network. Fighting Words is brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women of Peace and Fire Services by Dr. Kathleen Carroll, a board-certified psychiatrist in private practice since 2003. Dr. Carroll previously was the Director of Inpatient Services at the Bay Pines VA Hospital and the Bay Pines VA Medical Center. Dr. Carroll specializes in the treatment of children ages 6 and older and the treatment of adults. She's also an all-time triathlete. So if you're having any problems with life or if you're having any problems breaking through that next level of athletics, give her a call at area code 813-689-2466. And her offices are located at 336 East Bloomingdale Avenue in Brandon, Florida. Well, guys, it's good to be back with you, Armstead and Bob. We have an announcement to start the show off. Two good friends of the show were inducted into the 2019 class of the Hall of Fame, the Las Vegas Hall of Fame. Bernard Hopkins, who his personal dentist will be joining us in about 5 minutes, and he can tell you how he tried to pour cement through that opening in his teeth. But the other one is Ronald Winky Wright. Winky is a good friend of ours. We've had Dan Birmingham on many times. Dan's his trainer, and always was his trainer. And then there was Joel Casamayor and Juan Manuel Marquez. So we want to especially wish Bernard, because I know he listens, and Winky the very best, and congratulations. Well, guys, it was sort of a very active week for MMA. Bob, you want to start out?
Sure, yeah. I'll go right to Valentina. What a tough chick. Didn't come out, not that real quick head kick like she got last time, but what a smart fighter. She's known for her kickboxing, and to get one, if not what you call almost two takedowns, she's doing good there. I know fans weren't too impressed because it, went the distance and whatnot, but you got to be smart as well. You can't go in there and bang every time, to the crowd's dismay. Mm-hmm. Don't make the mistakes I did. She's a lot smarter than I was, so good girl, doing great, coming from a striking background. She's really patient, which I think is phenomenal, So her only real big losses, I think, in her, are to Amanda Nunes, and she's going to be right back up there going again. She's got the credentials to beat just about everyone else in that division. Mm-hmm. It's just Amanda's got her card, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. Armstead?
Yeah, let me jump in on that. I mean, what I love most about Valentina is, Bob, you said it best. She's a smart fighter. She doesn't try. You can't go in there and bang every time, but she never does more than she has to. And she's fighting for the longevity of her career. And she also knows, I believe she's like 30, 31 now. So she's trying to take mm-hmm. less damage. She doesn't get in there and make any like really bad mistakes. And this, I also think she just wanted to hit Carmouche a little bit, because the fight that she lost to her earlier in her career, she was winning that fight. It happened to just be a doctor stoppage for a cut and
right.
Or injury, whatever, she was injured. So, but she didn't want to stop that fight anyway. So the only fight she's really lost, I really think she's only lost one fight. And that would be, I think, her first fight with Amanda Nunes. Cause the second fight, that fight could have gone either way. It really, really could have. And I always feel like if that fight went one more round, I think Valentina would have beat her. I think Valentina is the best pound-for-pound women fighter in the world. And she is so smart, and she knows how to avoid taking hits. The fight that I always go to is her Holly Holm fight, because everyone was expecting Holly Holm to win that fight coming off of a loss. And she frustrated Holly Holm, and she basically said, "I know what you like to do, and I'm not going to let you do that." And Holly Holm had no answer for that. And
right,
that's what propelled Valentina to me. Yeah, it was amazing. And I think right now, the only reason why I'm not sure she's going to be able to beat Amanda Nunes is simply because Amanda Nunes walks around at like 165. And I would guess
thanks.
Valentina walks around at probably around 140. So, I mean, Nunes is a big girl. She's just big. She's got a wide back, and she hits really, really, really hard. And, Valentina's 5'5", and I even think that's being generous. So it's just she's just bigger than she is, and there's just not much more she can do there. And I still think the second fight, Valentina could have won that fight. So I'm not sure that there's anybody that's going to come in the way of her for a very long time. She could actually – I think she could break the record for having a UFC championship the longest. The only way I think she'll lose it is if she gets bored, because she's also in one of the weaker divisions in women's MMA. 125 is probably the lightest one in the UFC, because they don't even rank 145 anymore. I think that's going to be gone in a couple of years. So who's really going to challenge her? You're looking at the new up-and-coming fighter is that new girl. I can't even remember her name, but she's like 20 or 21. She can take some punishment. But, her sister's a good 125-er, and she's not going to fight her sister. So I'm not sure how this is. I'm not I'm not sure anyone's going to wrestle this belt away from her. I wouldn't be surprised if it's 2024 and we're still here talking about Valentina being champion.
Oh, sure, sure, sure.
Hey,
I see that coming.
Guys, we're joined by one of the best guys I know that can break the fighter's moves down. Zito, how you doing tonight?
How's it going? It's been
going
well.
How you doing, Zito? Good to hear from you again.
Oh, I'm doing well. How are you guys doing? I just got out of the gym, so I might be a little hoarse. You have to forgive me. But yeah, I heard you talking about Valentina, and to be honest, she's been like my up and coming favorite, she hasn't been the UFC fighter that long, but she's been one of my up and coming favorite fighters. That's because she's diverse.
Mm-hmm.
She's extremely diverse.
Yeah.
Really, and to answer your question, who could challenge her? Dana White and the fans, to be honest. And really, everything you said was spot on. And that often leads to a problem in boxing, MMA, whatever. Once you conquer the weight division, they want you to move up. They want you to conquer the bigger challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And even though Valentina's already been there, and I totally agree as far as their fights with Amanda, the size was the difference. The size was the equalizing difference, because Amanda is a hell of a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda is a hell of a fighter, and she's very, very physical. And when you have that brand, that's a dangerous fighter. So for Valentina, the way she lost was she essentially kind of got laid on. For even both fights, it was just a size differential. You know? So So and really, when you think about it, Valentina, I agree, she's going to rule that 125 division. But then,
I don't know who her manager is, but man, she's won enough kickboxing gold where she shouldn't fall prey to that pride like us guys do, you know what I mean? And be chasing that UFC gold, I would think. I mean, she's got a ton of kickboxing records. She's been in the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
I think she holds it well. See her on, a couple of interviews, and she's still humble, which I love about a fighter, let the talking happen in the ring, That's why, I stand behind Nunes with that. I really was behind Jovacek back in the day until the Nunes fight and all this shit talking, But I think, I think Valentina's really got her head screwed on straight, which is unusual for an MMA fighter, to be honest.
Hey guys, we're joined by lovely and vivacious. Armstead. We're joined by Dr. Chris.
Go ahead. Yeah. No, I'm good.
Yeah.
Hey, Dr. Chris.
Hey, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Dr. Chris, good to hear from you, sir.
Yep, good.
Yeah, it's
long time no hear from.
Wait.
It's been a couple of weeks since I predicted Keith would win.
Yeah.
You too.
Chris, we just announced the winners of are the new inductees into the Vegas Hall of Fame, and your friend Bernard Hopkins is the top of the list, and my friend Ronald Winky Wright is also on that list with Manuel Marquez, Yoel Casamayor, and there's a host of others, but glad to have them in there.
That's great. A lot of good fights. Go ahead.
Yeah. I want to ask you, Joshua and Ruiz are set for the second round on December 7th. Now, after the last fight, Lennox Lewis made a statement that there's mental problems with Anthony Joshua that need to be settled before they have a rematch. Does anybody know anything about that?
I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard anything, but I can see that. I mean, that's not that happens. This is a fight game. This is really 90% mental. So, I mean, once once you take the loss and you've been thought about as the most dominant guy in the world, you know, as far as anything else goes, well, you know, Deontay Wilder, he's heard about in the United States. Joshua was heard about in the world. That's why he's making, you know, excess amount of millions, you know, double-digit amount of millions a fight, you know, $20 million, $25 million a fight. And Deontay, he's not, he can't touch that right now. He doesn't have that global popularity. So when you are the king of the world and you get knocked off of your throne, I mean, I would imagine it would take something a little mentally for you to get back.
Yeah, I understand the purse is going to be $9 million for each fighter for the fight.
Oof.
Can I have one of those? Just one of those. What kind of retirement
for
right
Joshua?
Now?
Yeah.
I'll fight,
that
I'll
is
fight
Joshua?
Those guys for $9 million, man.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's because Joshua was used to making more than $9 million. So,
yeah, I know.
Yeah.
As of late, as of late.
As of this morning.
So.
Hey,
that's not
I
a whole lot of money
you,
think about it. Not for Joshua. Not for Joshua.
And
where
they're
he was
in
at it.
Saudi Arabia.
No.
And $50 million. Yeah, he's getting $50 million now. So.
Armstead, there's a article in MMA Week this week that there seems to be a problem, and they don't think that the UFC is going to allow Khabib to fight Mayweather. Do you know anything about that?
I've heard some grumblings about that. I think after the Conor fight, which was good for it was good for MMA as far as just getting more eyes on the sport. And, you know, I think all the people who are getting increases in pay who are MMA, UFC fighters have to give Conor McGregor a thanks for that, because simply by fighting Floyd Mayweather, that got eyes on it. But the problem with that was is now you're seeing Conor McGregor isn't really fighting MMA very much anymore. He's had one MMA fight since the Floyd Mayweather fight. And also, they're trying to book more fights for him because he claims he wants to fight, but then he says it has to be a pay-per-view card and he wants the main event. He's not the champion. And unless he's fighting for the belt, that's not going to be a main event of a pay-per-view UFC card. So that's going to be a struggle there. And I could easily see the UFC saying, you know what, Khabib, we don't want to do that because we don't want that to happen to you as well. We don't want you to be in a position where you're now thinking about boxing more so, and you're thinking about how much money you can make in boxing, because like it or not, boxers are going to get paid more than MMA fighters. It's just a fact, and it's going to be that way for a very long time until people who are like me are in our 80s and 90s. So I just don't see that being a possibility for under the UFC banner if they're going to support that. And especially because Khabib has already been talking about one or two more fights and he's going to retire. So I think he wanted to go 30-0 in MMA and then call it quits. So I suspect that's why of course, this is just me thinking outside the box, but I suspect that's why Dana White and company is not going to be too excited about that proposition moving forward, especially because Conor looked good early in the fight, but he wore out. I really think Floyd carried him a bit, and then he wore him out at the end of the round. And Khabib is not a boxer. Mm-hmm. He is not. He is a grappler.
No.
He is a wrestler. Him getting in a boxing match with Floyd Mayweather will be quite – he'll be way, way – way overmatched, and it won't even be that entertaining.
No, it'll be look how long I can stand here and make my face look like Will Smith and Hitch. you know what I mean? He'll just be all puffy.
I'm
gonna say this. With Conor and Floyd, I think more than it benefited the the UFC. It didn't really do a whole lot for boxing. I mean, it put more eyes on both things, but it was a boxing match. So it didn't really it didn't really do anything for MMA necessarily as far as, I mean, advancing the sport. Now it put more eyes on it, and it helped increase some of the revenue, but at the same time, you have essentially that monopoly who's not going to let that revenue get up. Only the best boxers make more than MMA fighters. On an average, boxers make a lot less than MMA fighters. Because, you have most boxers have
UFC,
they're on local venues.
UFC fighters.
UFC. I'm sorry, yeah. UFC fighters.
Specifically
I apologize.
UFC fighters. Yeah.
UFC, mm-hmm. And that's more or less because of boxing promotion is more independent contracting than anything. UFC fighters are, from what I've heard lately, they're also independent contractors, but they're really under an umbrella, which sounds a little illegal, but let's not even go that way. But boxers as a whole, boxers as a whole, they tend to make less because their promotions. You have when something's happening, you have a major promoter, but they're fighting maybe in Texas. Then you're going to have local Texas fighters on the card, and they're not making much.
Mm-hmm.
They're not making much. So you'll fill the card up with that. And then maybe have two, maybe three major fights where you have to pay maybe six guys, maybe four guys, the major money at the most. I mean, and UFC, they tend to have stacked cards. That's one thing I'm going to say. They tend to have stacked cards. And some of these names you're going to have
Granted,
to pay. I mean, it's simple as that. They demand a certain amount of money. So.
Right.
But it'll be bad for MMA, bad for UFC.
Yeah, I agree. But I also think that though with the number of cards that we're getting right now, I think that we're running the risk of seeing weaker cards because the cards this year they've been a lot of cards. It's nice to have an MMA every weekend, but these cards aren't nearly what they used to be, and it's probably because
the water
down. Talking about oversaturation, but
oversaturation.
Yeah, but this is what you said.
Perfect.
Yeah, but the more cards you have, like all the boxing that you have, a lot of times it's just like what you said. You kind of have like one big fight, and then you have a bunch of local fighters. And I get the sense that it's possible that you don't want to see the major promotions going that route with MMA, you know, because now you're getting weekends where you're having two Bellator cards and a UFC card on the same on the same Friday and Saturday night. Yeah, you hope that they kind of go. They pump the brakes a little bit just for the sake of the fighters. Because, you know, you can fight a boxing match every month. You know, you can't do an MMA fight every month. You just can't do it.
No.
Right. Hey, Chris, let me ask you, one of your favorite fighters, Tyson Fury, is back in Vegas on September 14th with fighting Otto Wallin. Where do you think that fight's going to go? I mean, Wallin is 20-0 with 13 knockouts. Do you think he has a chance against Fury?
Where'd he come from? I haven't heard
He's from the. He's from Malaga. He's from
Swedish.
The Swedish.
Where?
Yeah. Sweet.
I never saw him. Did you ever see him?
Yeah, this is his first fight in the States.
Yeah, well, it doesn't sound too like he's, you know, got any great record behind him. I mean, you got to go with Tyson Fury, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a position now to make money. He's not going to have it blown. He's not going to blow that chance by letting some guy in. You know, he gets them undefeated, but they're from, backwoods somewhere. They don't know what they're – I never heard of them. Where the hell they dig him up, you know? Yeah, so you got to go to Tyson Fury in a place like that. I mean, whether and you know he's trying to fight often and put himself in the public eye. And he's a pretty good guy to listen to now, and I like the guy now. I like him. I like listening to him. I think he's comical and entertaining when you do the 24/7 and. I got to go with him. I mean, I've never seen the other guy. Has anybody ever seen him?
I haven't.
Armstead?
You know, I looked him up, and he's fought. It seems like he's fought some tomato cans recently. I mean, a lot of these guys are coming off of losses or have a checkered win-loss record. So, you know, he's tall, 6'5". But there's not much out there on him, and I just get the sense this is another warm-up fight for him to prep for fighting against Deontay Wilder again. And if Otto Wallin is able to even get some sort of offense going in the early rounds, I would be surprised.
Mm-hmm. I would have to agree. I would have to agree with Armstead and Dr. Chris. The assessment basically is this. Any man, well, to be honest, any man with two fists has a chance. But Tyson Fury, to me right now, is the best heavyweight in the division. And I think after that Deontay Wilder
good
fight.
His last couple fights. He looked real good.
He surprised me because he looked good in the Deontay Wilder fight. His last fight, he looked good. He showed off a bit, but I expected that against that level of competition. Against Deontay Wilder after a 2-year layoff and two fights against not major competition to come and look like that to get a draw, I mean, that's impressive. So I think right now he's the best that he's ever been. And right now, Wilder is the guy. You know, I don't think Tyson Fury is overlooking him. I just think Tyson Fury is too good. Right now, he's too good and too big.
Mm-hmm.
He's too big with those set of skills.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, he's biding his time. He's just waiting for the big fight, keep him busy. And that's just what why sit there and not make money. I mean, so he's keeping busy waiting for the big fight.
When you have a guy like Tyson Fury, you better keep him busy and keep him in the gym. So you talk about a guy with mental problems, he could slip back into the past very quickly, I think. I mean, he's got to be busy, active, in the limelight. Otherwise, you got a problem on your hands with him. I mean, he's not one of those guys that can fight once a year. You know, you don't know what the hell he'd be doing.
He's even said that himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a guy that could focus either one way or the other. I mean, he's not an in-between kind of guy. You know, he's going to walk straight on the tracks. He's either going to be in the hills or he's going to be in the river. So he lives on his sleeve.
But you know what? It's always good to see him anyway. It's always good to see him fight.
Yeah.
Nobody really expects
Bob
him
Corey,
to lose.
Can you tell us something? He's got a big fight coming up.
Who's that, Frank?
Jorge Masvidal. Maybe I mispronounced it. Bob. That's he's a UFC fighter.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
he's the one that beat Askren. He threw that sick knee a couple weeks back, laid out Askren.
2 seconds?
Yeah, we talked about it a couple weeks ago because he'd been Askren for it. But anyway, Jorge, he's come a long way. I mean, he's lost to nothing but good guys like Henderson, Ala Quinta. He's beat people like Donald Cerrone.
Wonderboy.
He is Wonderboy. Mm-hmm. This guy is seasoned, and I was upset that I didn't know as much about him as I did until that knee. Then I started really looking into him. This guy's been around, man. He's got his style.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his stuff. I am kind of turning him against him though with the flamboyant, like, oh, he had it coming. I knew this knee was going to happen. I mean, that's why I love MMA, because you always got a striker's chance or a kicker's chance or a grappler's chance. You know, there's too many ways to win. What is luck when chance meets preparation? You know what I mean? And he trained that knee. We all knew Ben Askren was going to the ground. It connected. It happened. I guess on the negative side, you would say the perfect storm. I mean, everything came together, so it was a perfect night for him.
Yep.
But, Askren went back to the drawing board, he's got a slice of humble pie. He's going to go in there and start rethinking his stuff. He came over from another organization, undefeated in here.
Mm-hmm.
As a phenomenal wrestler, I won't take anything from him. He's going to go back to the drawing board and come back hungry. So this could have been the best and worst thing for Jorge is by beating Ben Askren. Maybe Ben Askren comes back twice the monster he was. But Jorge, I myself up for overlooking him because this guy has got a record. you know, and there's nothing that can be said or outdone by a ring experience. You know, you get in there, you get seasoned. As long as you're not getting, you know, tooled up every night, it changes things. You learn a lot. So I think this guy, he's got a chance to, you know, he's got a chance to push for the title. We'll see if he gets it. I know Astrid's going to come back up through the ranks. But I like to see, you know, I'm all about the Cinderella story. So we'll see what happens.
I like Ben.
Yeah, I would like to see Jorge Masvidal fight Leon Edwards, man. I'd like to see that fight.
That would be good.
Good, Zeke.
When I look at Ben Askren, he's can't win. First of all, how many undefeated records are maintained in the UFC?
None.
That just doesn't happen.
One.
I mean, John Jones. We're not going to talk about that. But
yeah, right.
I mean,
talking about Khabib. That's the only one.
I mean,
right,
and Khabib.
Right now.
And Khabib.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's the only
fights,
one.
Let Khabib fight about six more fights with this at top level competition.
I
would bet that he wouldn't have an undefeated record. Simple as that. Not in the UFC, not with the matchmaking. When once you get up there, then you're fighting people. As simple as that. Saying he couldn't, but I wouldn't bank on that one. So when it comes down to people, you're going to lose. You're going to lose, especially if you're a one-way specialist. Because when you're a one-way specialist, and that fight, although it was a split second, basically split second, Ben Askren reminded me of the Gracies. And sort of to where once he gets a latch of you, that's it. That's what he's trying to do.
Right.
I mean, if the fight always starts standing up. That's one thing. Your fight is always going to start standing up. So it's going to be a process to get to where you're going to get. He had to eat and got dumped on his head by Robbie Lawler in a fight before. So he barely survived that, which surprised me. He ate a few ground shots that I was like, wow. But
which is controversial.
So we know,
yeah.
Well, and it's controversial for the style.
Yeah, it was.
You know, they said. So, I mean, I'll give him that. Just for coming back and getting Robbie in that position, I'll float him that one slightly. But, I mean, when you're a one-way guy, then that's a problem. I look at Chael Sonnen. Chael Sonnen, you don't see him dancing around the ring boxing, but his boxing is sharp enough to get to where he wants to go without getting harmed. And it's as simple as that. He can throw. He knows how to lean and throw a jab, lean away from the punches, step in into your body while you're throwing punches. That he has his boxing sharp enough to do to throw a right and then follow his whole body in. I mean, he's a guy. I mean, he might throw a 1-2 up top and then shoot down low on you for the takedown. He has his boxing sharp enough to blend it with his. You have to study stand up. You have to study it all when you're dealing with that. You have to study it all when you're dealing with UFC, MMA, UFC. When it comes down, I could see Ben Askren. He doesn't have to make major strides to be a better fighter. All he has to do is get it sharp enough to get to where he wants to go.
Right, but I don't want to see him repeat as another GSP. You know what I mean? I mean, GSP went a long time, you know, he'd go in there and take the safe win every time.
Yeah.
I don't want to pay for that. I don't want, you know what I mean? I've been in there and done this, you know what I mean? As much as we're, you know, credit we're giving Jorge, you know, I think Khabib could take him, you know what I mean? 20 pounds lighter. I mean, this guy is a phenomenal wrestler, you know what I mean? So if it's going to get down to our wrestling thing, that's a whole different bracket. But you know, we're there to see, I mean, everyone, that's what, you know, we're not going to have, a Mike Tyson or a Floyd Mayweather stay on top for that long because you might be a phenomenal striker, but somebody might have, you know, those sweet leg kicks, or someone might be a phenomenal wrestler, or, you know, you might get the ground and pound artist that gets the guy that's good at, you know, leg locks and triangle chokes. So there's just too many variables for no one to, you can't stay on top that long. I mean, that's the Ronda Rousey syndrome. You know, everyone went out there for the first, you know, 8-10 title defenses and tried to beat Rousey her way. You can't do that. Russian Holly Holm is the first one that went out there and fought her fight. You know what I mean? So same thing with Jorge. Somebody's going to have his number. And Khabib, he can't, you know, Khabib is doing his best to stand up now. But when it gets squirrely, then he just goes to the ground because he knows once he gets you, he's going to treat you like that bear he did in Russia, you know?
Yeah. But you got to think, too. Ben went in there with his arms down the first 5 seconds of the fight. And you know, if you know, he's got to be kicking himself going, I can't believe I was that stupid. Because,
ego.
You know, you have to, you know,
reaction.
When the fighters train, ego, definitely. But the fighters have to train to go, okay, let me just make sure that what would I do if I suspect he knows what my first move is? Let me try to think about this a bit more. He walked out there with his arms down. To do a double leg in the first
band.
5 seconds of the fight. And that, I mean, you've got to be like, oh, my God, I can't believe I made that mistake. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, what?
I told all my students for a
long
time.
5 seconds is generous. He was out in 2.5 seconds. He was out. Yeah.
He didn't step to the side. He didn't even football tackle where you use your shoulder. Take your head off to the side and use your shoulder. He didn't even do that.
No. He didn't curl up. He didn't turn.
No.
He didn't lean in. He didn't try to decide. He didn't slip. He didn't do anything. It's just, I mean, I was disappointed watching that fight. I was angry. I felt like I was robbed. I wasn't excited. I was like, oh, that was a terrible fight. It was a terrible fight. And Jorge Masvidal, he's lucky that knee hit, because if he was a centimeter left or right, he wouldn't have knocked him out. So,
no,
it would have
missed.
Just, I don't know. It would
have been a different game.
Yeah, I would have missed.
If
so,
Ben would went for the football tackle.
I'm not putting too much on that fight. I refuse to do it. Yeah.
No.
I refuse to do it.
If Ben would have went for the football tackle,
we
would have been talking a lot different.
Ben needs to start coming in like Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know what I mean?
The fight coming up.
Yeah.
Right. Well, let's take it to the fight coming up this weekend where you have Daniel Cormier and Stipe Miocic. Stipe saying that Daniel Cormier landed a lucky shot. No, he didn't. That was a much different situation because that was after Daniel Cormier already took what you had coming to him. And he said, oh, okay, I know what you have now. I don't think you can really hurt me. There's a big difference in that type of a shot as opposed to the Ben Askren fight with Jorge Masvidal.
Difference. Daniel took control of the fight. He started out-jabbing Stipe.
He did.
He caught him with a good 1-2.
Exactly.
I mean, he started finding his mark and using his boxing to get where he wanted to go. Daniel is probably the best clinch heavyweight in history that I can say. I mean, Kane was a beast, but Daniel, I mean, even his, like, it started with his takedowns, but now he's getting better with his clinch striking. That was textbook.
Right.
It was textbook. You catch a guy, y'all getting up, and usually you capitulate on a retreat.
Right. But you got to remember, when he fought Rumble, he took Rumble's best shot and still choked him out. He let Rumble start him early in that fight, the first time they fought. Rumble caught him good. And he was like, okay. Yeah. He's like, okay, that's
your shot.
He kicked
him in the head the second fight.
I'm all right. Yeah, and he said, I got you. I'm going to get you on the ground. I'm going to choke you out. He did it twice.
Yes, he did.
Hey,
I'm sorry, Butch, what were you saying?
Hey, Chris, we have a fight coming up at the end of the month. Luke Campbell versus Vasily Lomachenko. What's your prediction on that one?
They're fighting, 35, 30? What are they coming in at?
142. 147,
I'm
sorry.
140. No, it should be 40, I think.
140, yeah.
Lomachenko's going to fight at 140?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's big weight for him. Okay. Campbell's
a
pretty good fighter.
He fought Jorge Linares at, pretty sure, 140.
Well, Campbell's a pretty good fighter.
Yes, he is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it won't be a shoe. It won't be a shoe-in for Lomachenko. You know, he got a lot of mystery fights out there. There's a lot of different fighters that he could probably adapt to, but you don't know what Lomachenko is going to do, you know, and it's, I find him very entertaining because he adapts very quickly. You know, you think, well, 140 might be a little too much for him. This guy might be a little too much. He's not that tall. But he goes out there and adapts very easily and, you know, takes command of the fight sooner or later. But I think somebody's going to extend Lomachenko into later rounds. And I think that's where, if he's going to get beat, it's going to be in the later rounds because he's not really, I don't think he's mentally conditioned to fight 10, 12 hard rounds every time he goes out there. I don't think he's mentally conditioned that way. I think that he's very quickly reaching an age where he's going to be taken sooner or later. I don't think he's going to wind up undefeated.
I think that Luke Campbell, I'm going to tell you what I liked is how Jose Pedraza did against Lomachenko. If he would have put any more out, it would have been pretty bad for him. But he put enough out to where that was basically his best account, his best talent account, his best skill account, without getting hurt. And that was the key for Pedraza, because if Lomachenko would have hurt Pedraza, then it would have been over. And as Pedraza knowing that, he fought effective enough not to take the fight to win it, but to make a good account of himself. Luke Campbell is tougher. Luke Campbell is bigger. Luke Campbell, I think, will take that a step further.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
And he's long. He's longer than Lomachenko. Lomachenko is better than Luke Campbell. But Luke Campbell is a very, very skilled boxer. The word is boxer. Luke can move his feet pretty well. Luke can keep his distance pretty well, but Luke tends not to at times. Luke is not going to sit there and let Lomachenko go stare around him. Luke will pop a jab. Luke will keep his arms out there, keep Lomachenko thinking. He has to watch out for Lomachenko's sharp counters, Lomachenko's footwork to get certain punches off. But Luke has the potential to win. Really? I wouldn't bank on that just because Lomachenko's better and Luke is not significantly bigger than him. To make the difference. Luke's not a one-punch starch power puncher. So, he's a work guy. He's a work guy. And within a work guy, he can outwork Lomachenko effectively if he plays smart and rangy, or he could work himself in a certain things to where to benefit Lomachenko. He has a chance to win, though. As good as Lomachenko is, Luke has sort of the style and the physical attributes to give Lomachenko trouble. And the heart. Luke is not going to, I hate to say it, he's not going to be like Pedraza and not try to win the fight. I think Luke, if he needs to, he'll try to step on a gas pedal.
Hey, Bob, you know, many times Dr. Chris has talked about Tex Cobb's nose and surgeon saying how he was going to put it back in a bag.
You go to me on this one. I really love it.
Well, no, this isn't because of your physical fit. I want to ask you the story about Mike Perry. My God, you see his nose is bigger than his face. He really had a tough weekend this week.
I don't know about that. I've had mine put together so many times. I just call it a Roman nose because it roams all over my face. You know what I mean? But I hope you sent that picture to Dr. Chris too. Yeah, I mean that's one of my all time faves. You know, I sent that as Christmas cards. You know, wished you were here and stuff. But yeah, I mean, I text Kyle's nose. I mean, it comes down to, and here's the hard thing. I was always a short, heavy kid growing up, you know, and so I was a mouth breather. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I started MMA and fighting to I actually became a nose breather. You know, I had those allergies because you can't leave your mouth open when you're fighting, because if you get a kick or a hook, something to an open jaw, lights out, baby. So you got to come in there. You were saying something earlier about having someone's dentist on there, and I had one of the dentists make me one of those professional mouth guards. You know, they're not as any better than those $2 jobbies you get at Walmart, you know. But you got to keep that mouth clenched, and you got to breathe through your nose. But I don't know, something about the adrenaline, as soon as I was a mouth breather, but you start throwing fists at my face, and all of a sudden I can breathe through my nose. You know what I mean? So you've got to have that good influx of air. You've got to stay breathing. And when your nose has been smeared around your face like peanut butter and jam, it's a little difficult. I'll admit that. So that's just hilarious you come to me with that question. Thank you.
I forget what old-time fighter said it, but he said, listen, if I could move like Sugar Ray Robinson, I would. I'd move all around the ring like him, but it's more effective for me to come straight at you. That's what I'm good at.
I'm going to hurt your hand with my fucking nose.
I mean, sometimes to take that two to deliver that good one, that's their effectiveness. A lot of guys are scared of that, too.
If you want puppy hands, just keep hitting me in the face. That's what's going to happen.
We're going to have a contest of 10 worst noses of all time. We've got to think who they would be. We'll match them up. And I'll take dental impressions of their noses. And then we'll have a match. We did that in dental school. We had in dental school, we had 32, we had 66 Jewish guys, about 25 Italians. Well, all Italians and Jews, we got the market on big noses. So we had a contest.
I love you.
Now we had to take impressions of each other's noses. And then at Christmas, we had a contest. We had the interfraternity thing. We had a contest of who had the worst nose. Well, it was hysterical when you see them mounted in Plaster of Paris.
Crying.
It was so funny. Wow. And when my roommate got my nose, he smashed my damn nose because I couldn't breathe. And I was like, I come in second for bad nose.
What?
Now Don Brown played the trumpet.
He's trying hard.
And he played the trombone. And his nose was like a trombone. He went left to right at about a 30-degree angle. And I said, nobody's ever going to beat Don Brown. I never forget that. We laughed so hard. You know, it just – so one of the older guys in the fraternity said, you guys don't act professional. And he took a hammer and broke the mold. So I wanted to take that hammer and hit him on the head with it. But, you know, I was only a freshman. I was so mad at that guy. But we were roaring. It was funny. Everybody was coming over to see our nose contest. It was really funny. So anyway.
Redneck famous last words. Watch this. Hold my beer.
Don Brown looked like he looked like he should be riding a camel across the desert. You know? And he looked like one of them guys. And he had that big nose that. Oh, man, nobody ever beat. I think it's probably still a record. And we still, when we get together for reunions, that's one of the things we bring up.
So, oh, I'm dying.
Yeah, all right. But Tabiri, and I'm going to put Joe Tabiri in there. I'm going to put Texas Cobb in there. I'm trying to think back to who the hell else had some bad noses. You know,
I'm sweating.
Like somebody hit him with a shovel.
Julian Jackson had one of those noses too.
I have a question for you. This week, or today actually, they announced the undercard for the Earl Spence-Sean Porter fight. And the first one is Anthony Durrell versus David Benavidez. And then you got Robert the Ghost Guerrera trying to revive his career with Jerry Thomas. So let's take Durrell versus David Benavidez.
Well, from what I understand, this is Anthony Durrell, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is at 168. Anthony Durrell, he's talented. He's pretty tough. Experienced. He is something about him and putting things together. And against Benavidez, he's going to have to put everything together. He's capable. He's well capable of putting a good fight together. If he does put a good fight together, then he can win a decision, under decision. I don't know if he could put a good fight together against Benavidez. One thing Benavidez is, he's busy and goes to the bottom. That's a little and with that, if he keeps up that pace, I don't pick Durrell to really beat him. I just think, you know, one is going up, and one, if Durrell's not going down, he's teeter tottering on going down. I think skill wise, he's better than Benavidez. Right at this moment, that I don't think that's enough that he could put that together enough to beat him. Just because Durrell is not known to put it all together anyway. I mean, there are some fights he looks good in, and there are some fights to where it's like, where's your head at? I mean, so when you're like that, then I have to pick the more consistent fighter, the more consistent up and coming fighter.
You know, Durrell always finds a way to lose. How the hell could a guy with all that talent? How the hell could a guy with all that talent lose so many fights? I mean, amazes me. He always manages to screw up something to lose the fight. He always finds a way, and he's got tremendous talent. He should be. He had the potential when he was coming up to be undefeated for a long time, but he just never can. You were saying they're using the term putting it together. He never could do that. He always found a way to lose.
And I think you're talking about the his brother. That he's moved up to 175. This is the other brother, the one he had. He had some sort of cancer a while ago, and he came back from it. But he's made his way. Yeah, I think Andre is Anthony is the younger brother. I know he's the less talent. He doesn't have nearly the talent his brother has, in my opinion. He has much more skill, and he's tougher. But I mean, his brother's more talented. Absolutely, he's one of the better talents. Physical talents as far as boxing I've seen.
Yeah,
and when he put it together, he was pretty good. Oh my God, yeah. But he didn't have it. He didn't have it worse than the younger brother who's fighting Benavidez. The younger brother, he's tough, and you know he's not going to knock him out. I don't recall him getting knocked out or stopped, but I just know that he won't put it together, and you know at certain times in certain fights, he will put it together, but not, maybe not all the way together. Well, he'll get some good wins, and he'll take some losses. I just can't pick him that consistency against Benavidez.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I guess our last one would be Armstead can answer. Aston Ladd seems to have lost his bantamweight license. It's been suspended. Do you have any information on that?
It was basically that weight cut was just really bad for her. And, you know, seeing her on the scale, she was shaking, she was crying. She, well, the scary part was, too, was she wasn't sweating. And even in the warm-up before the fight, this is just something that I observed. Those fighters come out, they're warm. They should already have a good sweat going, and she wasn't really sweating. And the way – and we spoke about this before about how what a great striker Durandamy can be at her best when she's really just, like, landing that straight right. And it just looks like her chin was kind of weak because it was a good, strong punch. But I've seen her take punches like that before and not go down the way she did. But the articles are basically saying that she showed up for that fight and she weighed in at 159 pounds. So, and she weighed in at 136 the day before. So she went ahead and you know, that's a 23-pound difference, 70% of her body weight, and the commission was very troubled by that. Aspen Ladd, if she wants to fight at 135, it's kind of something that's going to happen with the new girl who I think she just had a child, but she's fighting at 115. The American girl who thinks she was Brazilian, I can't remember her name right now. It'll come to me after the show's over, I'm sure. But you know, you're looking at her physique and you're saying, okay, she has to lose some body fat if she wants to fight at that weight, because it's harder to cut weight the higher body fat percentage that you have. And but because she came back in, they try to keep you at about a 10% gain after your weight cut. And to put back on 70% of weight shows that was bad. And for her to be able, and she's going to fight, I believe, in D.C. on December 7th, which I'm trying to get tickets to go to that card as soon as that comes out. Which is a pretty good lay. It's a long way off for her, but we'll see how she bounces back from that. Because she also, you know what, she's a big girl. She's a thick girl, and you know, maybe fighting at 135 is something that she's built for, because she's still young. She's like, what, 24? She's young.
Okay. Well, guys, we're just up against our timeline here. I want to thank everybody for coming in. It's great to have the whole crew back. Z, it's always great to have you back. Like I said before, you are my man in the hole as far as tactics are concerned, and really appreciate it, Bob. You do a great job every week breaking down the MMA scene for us, and Armstead, your knowledge of the game, both on the UFC and you're pretty well rounded all the way around. But we appreciate it, Chris.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You got your new phone in and. I'll give you a call in a few minutes. I want to talk to you about something else. But I always appreciate your input. You always make this show as much fun as I've ever had in my life, and I appreciate especially all your friends.
All right, thank you guys so much. You guys all have a great week. I'm out.
All right,
thanks.
Take care. Talk to you guys next week. All right, see you.
See you when you get. See you when you get back, Bob.
All right.
Okay. Z, you want to lead us out?
Absolutely. I'm glad to make the show today. I hope to be making it a little more consistent. I want to thank Bob. I want to thank Armstead, Dr. Chris. I want to thank you, Butch, all my Fighting Words family. Any of these shows are definitely in memory of Bob and Coach Mel. If anyone wants to hear any Fighting Words, please do call.
Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and police and fire services. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, please acknowledge them. It's a very tough time both for guys and girls in uniform, both domestically and in foreign lands. Please, if you have any feelings about hostile feelings towards these people, please see a professional. Please don't take it out on them. These programs are dedicated to those who lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Culcap, Sergeant Thomas Bajor, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, New Castle County Police, Patrolman Anofa Crispin, Lakeland PD, Chief Al Hogan, Longwood Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township, PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant Mike Godwin, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Office, Patrolman Robert Jermaine, Windermere, Florida Police Department,
Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff, Delaware State Trooper Sergeant Rodney Bond, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Artith Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, FDLE Special Inspector Vinny Galaccio, Delaware State Trooper Corporal Stephen Ballard, Yosemite Police Officer Matt Baxter, Yosemite Sergeant Sam Howard, Captain Matt Letourneau, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Bill Gentry, Highlands County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Clay Zerba, Clay County Deputy Sheriff, Deputy Natalie Corona, L.A. County Sheriff's Department, Deputy April Rodriguez, Pasco County Deputy Sheriff, and Officer Robert McEchin, Biloxi, Kentucky Police Department. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the rose rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rain fall softly on your fields and the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your family always in the hollow of his hands. Good night. God bless. Have a great week.
Shemalek ma'ilama, shemahezahilma, sona shenevoratfet, hakuigegen ma'ilma.
Response to his last emergency. May God rest his soul.